countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Have you cattle to sell? Find out what they're worth with our marked price calculator on farmersjournal.ie.
But first, this week, the Minister for the Environment, Eamon Ryan, introduced his long-awaited Climate Action Bill to the Dáil.
There's consensus politically, and I think among our people on this, that we're tired of being laggards and we want to be leaders, and I think we will now. It will take several decades to achieve the objective of going carbon neutral, but that's the target we're setting ourselves. In the next decade, and this is what the bill sets out, it will be particularly dramatic because it's a 50% reduction in emissions we're looking to do. The future of agriculture is in an agriculture which restores nature.
This will chime with Europe's targets outlined by EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen at the Global Earth Day Summit hosted by President Joe Biden this week.
Rewrite into stone the goal set out by the European Green Deal to make Europe climate neutral by 2050. And we have also agreed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by at least 55% by 2030.
This means changes in farming and how food is produced with immediate effect across Europe. Writing in this week's Farming Independent, dairy farmer Gillian O'Sullivan, who milks 100 cows along with her husband Neil on their farm near Dungarvan in County Waterford, highlighted that the industry is not supporting farmers as they adapt to more sustainable farming practices. She's been telling me why she thinks the lack of certainty and poor joined-up thinking from government through to milk processors is leaving farmers stuck in the middle, gagged and trussed, as they try to transition to meet targets.
What's happening at the moment is that as we're making plans, the goalposts for agriculture are shifting all the time. For us, we're a derogation farm, so like changes that have been brought in would have been around mandatory inclusion of clover in our swards now. We also have that big change in slurry management towards low-emission slurry spreading. That's just come in the last 8 months, kind of tip of the iceberg stuff. And at the end of this year, we're going to be looking at the changes around antibiotic prescribing and usage. And farmers are going to have to adapt to that too. Mm. And then if we look like in the longer term, we're looking at a 20% reduction in nitrogen fertiliser usage is on the cards by 2030, down to pre-2013 levels. We're also looking at urea being phased out as the plan by 2023. And by 2030, again, we're looking at a 65% of can to be used as protected urea. And every time it's been pushed on farmers with the byline of these changes need to be implemented as a matter of urgency, they need to be implemented on farms today. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure on farmers.
But do you appreciate that these things have to happen if we're to meet climate targets?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think there's great willingness among farmers to adapt to these changes. But what we're seeing maybe is that at industry level, what I come across now is kind of like a failure to facilitate farmers to implement these changes. Like we've been trying to bring clover into our swards here since 2018. We've been making a real big effort to do it, and we're seeing the benefits of using it. It does allow a reduction in nitrogen fertiliser usage, and that's a real positive for us. Now, at the moment, we don't have a clover-safe spray to use in our swards, so those stocks ran very short last summer. And they were gone pretty much by October last year. And it's April time. There's lots of reseeds going on at the moment. In 6 weeks' time, people still don't know if we're going to have it. So farmers are either going to be looking at their reseeds and wondering, gosh, what am I going to use? So if they use a product that's not clover safe, they're going to knock back all the clover in their sward. Or otherwise, if they don't use anything, you're going to have weeds, so like thistles and docks and species like that are going to reduce the productive lifespan of your sward. Again, that's a huge hurdle for farmers. Like they have a target of having farms with a clover inclusion rate of 20 to 25% by the year 2030. And unless we have that, in order to meet with the pressures on us to reduce our nitrogen fertiliser usage, farm profitability is going to be affected. So we have to be getting clover into swards now. But we do need to be supported.
Gillian, you're a supplier to Glanbia. We know that recently they've introduced this controversial peak milk management policy because there is this supply capacity logjam in the system. How do you feel about that? Does that just add to the woes of trying to do everything right?
Well, I guess as a supplier, it's been very frustrating over the last 4 weeks, especially when we look at, you know, efficiency means efficiency, and seasonal calving means that you're calving your cows to match a grass growth curve. And that means that, so you're calving them in springtime to make the most economic benefit of plentiful grass supply. And if you end up producing more milk at the shoulders of the year, outside of we say these peak months, that is actually moving to a less sustainable way of producing milk, because producing milk at the shoulders of the year, you're bringing in more supplement into your farm, and that additional supplement is coming from overseas, and it's less sustainable than our own homegrown grass. So I think that when everything is telling farmers to be more sustainable, to reduce your carbon footprint, yet you're saying, well, you need to move towards a less sustainable model, then you start to question, gosh, what am I doing here? Yeah. I really feel that, you know, there's real frustration among farmers. We've been torn in many different directions here. And, you know, I wish that there was a much greater level of support at industry level to facilitate farmers to be more sustainable. And there are examples of this. I mean, if you look at West Cork Co-op, Carberry, they are funding their farmers to attend a UCC diploma course in environmental sustainability and policy. And like that education that those farmers pick up, they bring it back to their farms. It helps them make better decisions around environmental sustainability on their farms. It helps them communicate with others in their community. It has a very far-reaching positive effect. Like, that is meaningful engagement. If you look at the uptake of low-emission slurry spreading, it's huge. Farmers have done that already all across this area here. And if that was incentivized, if there was maybe a tax break given for buying a low-emission slurry spreader, that would be a real incentive for farmers to get these machines on farms. But again, we don't see that.
But then when you look at EPA figures in relation to air, water and soil quality, it paints a very negative picture, particularly of dairy farming. As a dairy farmer, what do you make of the image of the business that you're in?
At our own farm, look, we're doing our very, very, very best to be more sustainable. You know, I said to you here, if you look around us here, that field there is, that's a clover reseed there. There's 25% clover in that paddock there beside us. Look over there, that's, you know, that's, we've planted new hedging to improve the biodiversity around our farm here. You know, that roadway there behind you, it's all been managed and changed to prevent runoff from the roadway. Like, we're doing our very, very best here. We're trying to be more efficient with how we use fertilizer. We're trying to reduce our inputs. We're using less herbicide, but we need to be facilitated. We need to be supported. And at the same time, like, you know, we have to make a living from and a livelihood from working and being farmers in the countryside here.
Where do you see yourself by 2030? Do you see yourself milking less cows? Do you see more of this land devoted to biodiversity?
Well, I think that we've a huge challenge ahead of us. And look, myself and Neil will certainly still be milking cows here in 10 to 15 years' time. But I think that at the moment, what we really, really need is certainty around what's coming down the tracks. Like, for example, with the Glanbia decision last week, that's just sprung upon farmers with very, very little lead-in time. We need certainty, we need planning, and we need joined up thinking in order to help farms transition. All the examples I've just given you there, there's not a huge level of joined up thinking going on. And at the same time, more and more has been asked of farmers. We just need a little bit of the industry to work with us here.
That was Gillian O'Sullivan there near Dungarvan on the frustration of farming through contradictions, as she put it, from the industry and other agencies that she and other farmers, she says, must deal with.